Hey, so the demonized guy, he had no idea where to go. In your city, there's demonized individuals. They open the doors. You reap what you sow. There's people in sin, reaping what they have sown. Hey, there's folks that are so deeply depressed, suicidal, they can't get off heroin, fentanyl, drugs, opioids. Now the anger, it's everywhere. The fighting, the burning, the screaming, the yelling. There's peace like a river. There's peace like a river. Jesus said, my peace, not as the world gives. There is a supernatural. You ever read Romans 15, 13? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit of God. Hey, revival's not only a reality, a possibility, not only necessity right now. Get that church back up to its place. Get that church back up to, get that believer back up to that place of power, of place of great power in walking with God. That's what it's all about. That's what revival does. It reaches down into Sardis, reaches down into Laodicea, reaches down into prayerlessness, reaches down into disobedience, backslidden, smell like the world, look like the world. It reaches down there, God does, by the Spirit of God. Shows our sins, our failures, our neglects, our neglecting so great a salvation, our neglecting the possibilities of prayer, the deadness when the majority can't win souls, when the majority can't cast out demons, when the majority can't walk with God powerfully. Well, it's not God's fault. It was never intended to be. That's never was dead churches, dead believers, carnal believers, caricatures, even embarrassments, ever to be what God designed. Now, if I can, in 10, 12, 15 days, I will tell you when it's actually, the publisher has it out, becoming the powerhouse God intended you to be. And that's what revivals do. If you've been reading books on revival, if you've done any kind of reading at all when it comes to books on revival, it's pretty amazing to see what God does when there are those that are lit up. There are those that get the burden, the Spirit of God, they can see, God engages them. It could be the Zinzendorfs, it can be the Jonathan Edwards, it can be, you know, all the revivalists and all of those and the Wesleys, and you can look at all of it. Look at all the great revivals and see the prayer warriors, thank God for them. But it all is initiated by God because God wills his church, his believer. You've got to know this. You've got to know this in this present darkness. You've got to know this. God has willed your victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Your strength, your ability to go from strength to strength, glory to glory, gets stronger. Acts 9:22. Let me tell you something very clear today as God is operative in your life. Listen, you might be satisfied with God. The question is he satisfied with us? Isn't that what the old hymn says? God is not done yet. And I've got something that I need to scream out. I need to yell out. I believe that darkness has imprinted it in the church the last couple of decades. I believe that part of the suppression, quietness, backsliddenness, emptiness, fruitlessness, powerlessness, prayerlessness of the body of Christ includes the dark side's ascendancy. You know, again, more demons than ever, more dark manifestation, more violence, more chaos, more blood, more fires, more earth changes, more saber rattling, more pestilence, more terrors than ever. More practitioners of the dark side. And there's no question about this month in September, the dark side, marriage of the beast, hands of glory, equinox, next month, 13th on. Watch out for the children. The dark blood and guts underground, bigger than anybody thinks, bigger than the deep state, bigger than all of that, but only engaged by the hand of God, only engaged when it comes to the authority of Jesus. When we have believers that aren't afraid of their shadows, that are so powerful that, well, bold as a lion, they're going to go anywhere. They're going to go into the biker bars. They're going to go down the streets. They're going to engage the gangs. They're going to engage everybody. God is God, and the rest of the world is not. You as a believer, if God is for you, who's going to be against you? Can I give you a quote? Quote, "Don't let the present darkness or difficulties define the power, the might, the willingness of God to do his will and show his astounding miracles in the battle for the souls of everyone until the last day of fallen human history. Don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit of God by unbelief, reluctance, and fear. We're to be the powerhouse of God, driving into the next day, ablazing in the next day and the rest of the future, to be blazing in his presence and power. Same Jesus today." Can I scream that out to you? Can I say that to everyone worldwide? Welcome, 170 nations. I want to say welcome to all of you. Love you. Love my dear friend in France, undercover there. My dear, dear, great friend there. I never forget you. I don't forget Merrick, the soul winner in Poland. I don't forget the artist there in Spain. I don't forget the metal worker down there in Asheville. I don't forget our new friend in Shanghai, China. I don't forget our friends there, Mark and others in Scotland and England and Wilford and everybody else. Every one of you, by the grace of God, by his fire today, anybody want the fire of God? Anybody want to be filled with God, Christ? Anybody want to do the will of God any longer? Jesus said, "Shall he find faith on the earth when he comes back?" Now, for many, it's the dark side that is defining. When you hear them say, "Well, we're just the remnant, we're just the last few people huddled around in the corner waiting for Jesus to come." No, those are defeated, broken believers, no longer believing in so great a salvation, no longer believing in the Great Commission, no longer clothed in power and being bold as a lion. Doggone it. Listen to me today. Let the wicked flee. Let darkness flee. Let the righteous stand. Let the believers in Jesus stand. Blood of the Lamb, temple of the Spirit of God, clothed in power. What greater salvation is there on the planet? Jesus of Nazareth, Yahweh Adonai, stand up and believe who he is, what he's all about, what he's doing in your life. You get revived today. You know what you can do? Jude, the book of Jude, verse 20, build yourself up. Have your own revival day. Stand up and examine yourself. Any of the world got me down and pulled me in? Any old flesh stuff in my life? Anything the devil's been defeating me on? Then repent. Jesus came to give you victory, dynamic freedom from and victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. May God give that to you today. May you and I pray today that God stretch out his hand in great power, in great might, the greatest of revivals in human history here and now, the greatest advance in the cause of Christ here and now, hundreds of millions yet to get saved, to hell with darkness, stand up against it, rebuke the powers of darkness, resist the devil, let him flee, advance the cause of Christ, stand if you're the last man, stand if you're the last woman, stand in power, stand in might, stand in the power and presence of God. He'll never, never leave you or forsake you. God being for you, gonna back you. Like Stephen, he was getting stoned. He saw Jesus. He's ready to leave. I don't believe he had one complaint once he saw Jesus. You're going to be out of that body sooner or later. Quit loving the world so much. Quit loving all that stuff. Quit licking old wounds. Quit complaining about everybody else. Quit comparing. Quit doing all the rest of that. Get right with God. That's the spirit of revival. And let me tell you something today on the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Listen, I don't know about you. What else is left to do in the planet? What else is there to do in the end of history? In this urgency of the hour when darkness is showing its ugly face in the worst of ways, look at the drug scourge, look at the human trafficking scourge, look under the table and see the satanic ritual abuse, look at the demonized, look at the abortion, the slaughter of babies, look at the corruption and chaos in the political world. Let all that You know, that all is speaking and evidence of sin and Satan and all that it is, all that it does. But I'll quote again, page 10, your life notes. Hey, this is the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. I love you today, but I want revival. I don't want anything else but revival. I don't want anything else but God's total, everything God has. Father, everything you have. In mercy, in wrath, remember mercy. In the midst of this darkness, in the midst of the backs of this, the subnormal church, we want revival. We want it now and here. We repent. We come to repent. We come to lay it out before you. There is no darkness that can stand. Let hell back up. Back up, hell, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Is that not what Jesus said? So every single backslidden believer, fear-oriented believer, just broken believer, crippled believer, defeated believer, come out of it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth right now. May God the Holy Spirit fall on you, ignite you, drive out of you the world of flesh and the devil, drive into you the full experience of victory in Jesus, victory over the world, victory over the flesh, victory over the devil, and the sheer privilege and joy and wonder of serving Jesus. Now, I'm going to say all of this. It's part 33, special message to believers about mass revival. Why not? Why not the greatest revivals? I'm sick and tired of hearing people define the present darkness and define the church in the light of it. We're just the remnant. We're just a little people. We're just the little ones huddled in the corner. Stop that embarrassment. Stop that caricature. Stop speaking out of your own defeat, your own crippled, backslidden state. You're to be a powerhouse in Christ. You're a temple of the Spirit of God. The power of God is on you. A living Savior's in you. The blood of the Lamb speaks. You've been given authority. The armor of God is to be on your life. You're to win souls. You're to do the works of Jesus. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do those good works. You're part of that great commission. If you've not been obedient, repent. If you're not being obedient in prayer, repent. If you're not worshiping and praising God, repent. Get the spirit of depression. Get the spirit of unbelief. Get the spirit of darkness off of you. Stand up. Stand up. The gates of hell shall not prevail. All the way to the end. Don't ask me to dumb it down. Don't ask me to be silent. Don't ask me to be embarrassed. The only embarrassment is, if I'm in any kind of backslidden state or not being the believer God designed in Jesus, I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God for, you know, Ephesians 4. I don't want to quench God the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5. How you doing today? This is Russ Dizdar, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. The website behind all this, shatterthedarkness.net. There's only one thing to live for, a living Savior. Do you know someone better than Jesus? Do you know somebody better than God in human flesh? Did what he did on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You ever read Colossians chapter 1? This is God in human flesh, the fullness of deity. This is Yahweh. This is Yahweh Adonai. This is Jehovah Jireh. This is Jehovah Rapha. This is El Elyon. This is El Shaddai. This is God, the fullness of deity in bodily form. No other name given under heaven, given out of heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus. Demons tremble. Jesus. The entire dark side trembles. To hell with the dark side. It's been defeated. We launch from the place of victory. Colossians 2:15. Jesus made an open spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. I've given you authority. You're now in Christ. You've got the blood of the Lamb. You don't shrink back. You don't shrink back. Not in this present darkness. In the growing present darkness, get stronger. None of the darkness, nothing that it does, nothing that it is, determines the power of God, the might of God, the will of God, the mission of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. It does not define God. It does not define the church. It does not define you. Don't let it. It wants to. Rebuke it. Stand up. Quit being such a crybaby at times. I pray the Spirit of God speak to all of us today. Quoting again, page 10, live notes. If you want the live notes, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast page, raggededgeradio.com. The raggededgeradio.com. Click on live notes. Page 10, quote, God's presence and power are so mightily and extensively at work during revival that God accomplishes more in hours or days than usually results from years of faithful non-revival ministry. Quote again, revival usually involves some preaching and evangelism, but revival is far more than evangelism. Man can evangelize, only God can give revival. During revival, people are moved towards Christ, people who can be moved in no other way. Many prayers that have gone unanswered for years are gloriously answered. Often the very atmosphere seems awesomely filled with God's power. Christians recognize it, and the holy presence of God. Sinners feel a fearsome awareness of God's presence and their own sinfulness. God may reveal his presence in unexpected ways. Accompanying his deep work in the soul may be other than surprising occurrences. There may be such a sense of God's presence and power that some people tremble. Some may be moved to weeping before God. Some may at times sink to the ground in physical helplessness. Others may feel almost irresistibly drawn to attend revival. Wesley Duell, Revival Fire from the book. I'm going to give you the nine faces of revival here. We'll talk about that also. I'm going to do this on Friday night and on Monday. Tonight is Friday night live, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Main website behind all this, shatterthedarkness.net. And thank God in this country that I'm living in that there are thousands on their way to Washington, D.C. Thousands and thousands and thousands of believers in Christ, we join. Every one of us listening, pass it around, put this out everywhere. Every one of us joining together with our brothers and sisters there. I've got things to do here. I've got people to minister to tomorrow night. I've got two little girls that dark witchcraft and stuff. They're doing that against the little girl. All kinds of things. Dead mother and dead. I've got things I got to do here because they're begging for help, and Jesus will help them. And yet, I had friends here yesterday. They got prayed for already, and they're being prayed for now as they're going. For all of you that are listening by earbuds or listening on Saturday, we're standing with you. We're praying. We're fasting. We're believing God for unprecedented revival. Again, to hell with darkness. Again, don't let darkness define the work of God, the presence of God, the will of God, the mission of God, what God will do. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Or you can read it this way. The words huperek piriusu is, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we ask or imagine. Why not the greatest revivals? Why not the greatest number of believers? Are you allowing darkness to define that? Are you allowing darkness to shove you in the corner? Darkness wants to silence the prayers. Darkness wants to silence the witnesses. Darkness wants to silence the praise. Darkness wants to silence the testimonies of the redeemed. Darkness wants to keep. Satan steals the word of God from people so they can't believe and be saved. He wants them in the drugs. He wants them in the Satanism. He wants them in the angry and rage and living by the sword and dying by the sword. He wants the babies aborted. Satan wants all of that. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're going to stand back as a believer crippled in the corner like some? You're going to have a church that's prayerless? Barely can the church meet right now, but listen, even that, like last Sunday in that church, I loved it. I love the praise and worship. I love the sermon. Prayerless, though. Absolutely prayerless. No intercession for the city. No intercession for the lost. No intercession for the powers of God. No intercessions for the body of Christ. No intercessions for one another. No spiritual warfare prayers against the darkness, against the demons, against the rituals, against all of that. Where the heck is the church? Where in heaven's sight is the church? Today is the day we repent. Today is the day we renounce. Today is the day we stand. God, Christ, same yesterday, today, forever. I want you to know that. The Spirit of God, the power of God, the might of God, the gifts of God, the clothing of power, the presence of Jesus. You ever look at Mark 16:20? You ever see that? The most exciting place to be is on the field of human history, doing what Jesus told us to do. And he's there, and he's among us. Christ in you, praise God. But as you're on the field, launched as you should be, get out of the house, get out of the basement, get out of the garage, get out of the church, get on the field of human history. Billions lost, billions dying, babies aborted, drugs killing little teenagers and others left and right, Satanists are building an army in the underground, human traffickers, the stinking pimps and drug pimps and the rest of them. Listen, in the sight of God, compelled by the love of God. God so loved this world, do you? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave Jesus, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17, John 3:17. God didn't send him in the world to condemn the world. The world's filled with sin. The world, devil's working bigger than ever. Biblical prophecy tells all Christians there's going to be more demonic stuff, more demonized people, more practitioners, more wickedness, more iniquity, more than ever in history. People are going to be ugly and selfish and selfies, and they're going to be into everything else. They're going to be worse than ever in history. Doesn't change the nature of the gospel. Doesn't change the nature of God's love. Doesn't change the nature of God is not willing that anybody perish. You ever read 2 Peter chapter 3 in reference to the end and how it's all going to be burned up? Do you understand how close we are? Do you realize how close we are? We're at the end of history. We're at the end of history. And more than ever in collective history, darkness will rise. And it just burns my britches. I want the body of Christ to rise. I want the body of Christ to be the bold lion. Let the wicked flee like the dark, unclean, corrupted things that they are. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray for revival. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray God bring such power that we repent, that we change, move instantly, that even now we examine ourselves and stand, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Every scripture true, every word of God true. God is here. You're the same today, same Savior, same Lord, same Spirit of God, same authority, same armor of God, same backing of God, same work of God. And I believe the greatest revivals ever in history to come now. I believe the greatest advance of the body of Christ to come now. I believe hundreds of millions yet to get saved. I believe your families can get saved. I believe your neighborhoods can get saved. I believe praying for the cities. I believe coming up against this radical darkness and burning and looting and destroying. Satan's on the loose. What are you going to do? Any Christian hiding in their basement, in the corner, waiting for the rapture, you are backslidden. You are dead. You got to read the parable of the talents. You need to be concerned about the parable of the talents. I'm not going to repeat it. You go look it up. Quoting again, page 11, 9 Faces of Revival. All people have the same basic facial features, yet these features are arranged differently. In similar ways, revivals display the same essential features as they reflect God's presence, yet they have different faces. That is, revivals expressed in different ways. And so, Elmer Towns is going to give us some of that here. The worship revival centers on magnifying God. The deeper life revival emphasizes the experience of God's indwelling. The spiritual warfare revival devotes its energy to battling Satan and other demons. The Holy Spirit revival is characterized by extensive manifestations of the Spirit. The reconciliation revival is the characterized by extensive manifestation, removal of barriers of racial and ethnic harmonies and so forth. The repentance of racism and race baiting. No excuses. No more blaming. Like Eve in the beginning, it was the same. It was the serpent. Like Adam in the beginning, it was the woman you gave me. Everybody wants to blame shift. Everybody wants to blame everybody else. We need to be silent, stand up, repent of our own sins, and become the man of God, the woman of God, the kind of Christ-filled, Holy Spirit-filled fathers and grandmothers and mothers and teenagers. And those, let me say something to the teenagers and the college individuals. You don't know yet the greatest movements of God, the greatest mission on the planet, the greatest works to be done. You're here to help abolish abortion. You're here to stop that. You're here to stand up against the drug lords and against all the drug fiends. And you're here to help bring them out of that darkness. You're here to penetrate the underground world of satanic ritual abuse. You're here to go rescue the abused sexually in human trafficking. You're here to stand against the perpetrators. You're here to put them, get them put in jail, get them put away, and then go preach the gospel to them. Then go take them Bibles. Then go tell them to get saved or go to hell, one or the other. Liberation Revival focuses on gaining freedom from the corporate and personal bondage of sin. The Prayer Revival displays considerable efforts in the intercession and other forms of prayer. Though any given revival may manifest several of these characteristics, most revivals tend to display one trait or more prominently than others. Just as the face of a child often reflects a blending of faces of both parents. Now, this is Elmer Towns, the 10 greatest revivals. You ever read that? You ever arm yourself with now the time to read about revivals and get a hunger for revival, to know the height from which the church has fallen? Pastors and leaders and elders and deacons and church members, if your church prays 12 seconds on Sunday morning, that's embarrassing. That's a caricature. That's subnormal. That's not Acts chapter 4 when they raised their voices together to God in prayer, quoting scripture and praying for boldness to win the world the mission, and God's power fell and shook the building. May God shake buildings this weekend. May God shake DC this weekend. May God shake the underworld this weekend. May God send out his power in such ways to bring back some of the most bitter and backslidden and blame-shifting and excuse-oriented believers. Get out of it. The judgment seat of Christ will deal with you, but right now God desires that you don't live subnormal, empty, crippled, backslidden. Stand up. It's Jesus of Nazareth that calls. It's the Spirit of God that calls. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? I'm not waiting on anybody else. I can't wait on anybody else. Can't wait on dead Christians. Can't wait on the subnormal church. Jesus is here. The God is willing that none should perish. God wants his mission to go. Every single human creature, human being, Mark 16, needs to hear the gospel, the good news. How can they believe on whom they've not heard? And they need to hear in power. Do you understand that signs and wonders and miracles and the rest can be done? You know why some of the church is so backslidden and afraid? They're so afraid of the supernatural because they're so dumbed down, so empty, so powerless, so prayerless, so unable to discern that they're just backed into a corner, trembling, crying out, don't touch anything out there because there's Satan. He's doing counterfeits. You're right. But you know who can best deal with the counterfeit out there? You know who can best deal with those who are in the flesh out there? I mean, I'm talking about believers purified, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God, honoring Jesus. You can see Jesus coming out of their life. You can see righteousness pouring out of their life. You can see the purity of the Spirit of God and of the living Christ pouring out of their lives. They have authority. They know their authority. They know the armor of God. They know the presence of the enemy. They know counterfeit. When they see counterfeit, they expose it, rebuke it, and command it to be destroyed and broken down. When they see the people and other believers in the flesh, they go to them. Stop this believer, because you know why? Listen, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. We're here to admonish one another. We're here to say, come on, brother. Come on, sister. We're here to say, listen, we leave none on the field of brokenness and crippledness and defeat. You're either defeated by Satan, the world, the flesh, or you're the standing of the power of God. Which is it? What are you waiting on? Quit excuse, you know, no more excuses, right? You only have this, you only have that. Sometimes you got to drag your legs along. Sometimes you got to drag your body down the hallway. I had to do that. You got to drag your body down the hallway and do it. Get out of bed and pray. Quit eating so much. Quit listening to so much of the world. How much of the world, has the world enamored you? Has it taken away the privilege? Has it taken away the possibilities of what God would have done in your life? See, I believe there's going to be a lot of regret. I believe there's going to be a lot of believers at the judgment seat of Christ are going to regret. They're going to regret what they didn't do. They're going to regret what they allowed themselves to be taken over by. So I think that right now that it's very important for all of us to realize that. I think right now as I sit here today on a Friday night in Ohio, as I'm praying all day long for all those going to Washington, as we have been praying for revival, and as we pray for the extension, the advance of the cause of Christ, Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 6. See, I believe like Acts 8. I believe that a young person filled with the Spirit of God, filled with boldness, strong, growing stronger and stronger and stronger, unstoppable, indefeatable he became. Instead of in the midst of a church that was scattered in persecutions and the rest, instead of running and hiding somewhere, he went right into the demonized city of Samaria. You ever read Acts 8? You ever see him go do that? You ever see him just go in there? He literally tore up the dark, demonized, demon-infested town. Deception, demons, a satanic-oriented, a magus was there. And the people are all fascinated. That's the rest of the world around us. If there's no witness of Jesus, if there's no demonstration of God's hand and power and grace in Christ, you know, listen, the body of Christ right now, let's be honest, is abdicating its role and giving free rein to the dark side. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he talked about a church of power, of might, of strength, of enablement, of in word and in deed, that it would be in word and in power, that it would be in every way, very much like what he did, training us as believers to do. Luke's Gospel 10 does that. Teaches us to carry the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom out there. Teaches us to pray for the healing. No more excuses. Why doesn't God do things here that he does in the other parts of the world? I hear about this over here, and I know God's doing that over there, and God's doing it, but he's not doing it over here. You know what? Silence! He's the same yesterday, today, and forever where you are. He's the God of mercy. I know that sin is big. We know that. We can go to Habakkuk chapter, you know, the last chapter, and we can say that same prayer. In wrath, remember mercy. Revive us again, O Lord. Yes, that's what we all want. I hope. I'm not sure, because in the large churches of 800, 900, 1,000 over here that I've been to, and over this one over there, and that one over there, and the ones that have those names that of historic denominations that were once really on fire, I haven't heard a prayer yet concerning anything significant about revival, anything significant about the city. I haven't found any churches where I live, any of them praying for the city, any of them praying for the nation. I know a little thing here, a little thing there. When I see leaders begin to say, we got to figure out what we got to do. We got to figure out what to do. We got to figure out what we're supposed to be doing. If you don't know that, Great Commission, you've been summoned to do the works of Jesus. You're created in Christ Jesus to do those works God prepared in advance for you to do. The Great Commission defines that. Matthew 28, you shall receive power to do that. I will be with you always. The experience of that is seen in Mark 16, 20. As we see the early church moving on to the second generation like Philip, we see them doing the same thing. Saved by Jesus, clothed in power and filled with the Spirit of God. And when they step out to do the same ministry, healing, deliverance, sign, wonder, miracle, things can happen everywhere. God sends angels. God sent an earthquake. God shook a building. God blinded a proconsul that was a Jewish sorcerer so he couldn't see right in front of the political leader. What did God, power encounters, all the way into the White House, all the way into the streets. May God demonstrate his power over darkness, power over lie, truth encounters, the Spirit of God to fall in great power. Don't you want that? What do you want? What are you doing? What do you want, Christian? Seems like most Christians are trying to get along, trying to survive. I know we live in a world right now where there's fires and looting and anger and racism and race baiting and cheat, you know, all of that stuff. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. I say, in light of it all, in light of hell's growing presence, in light of all that's to come, you must make the determination now that nothing that it brings is bigger than Jesus in you. Nothing that it brings is bigger than the Spirit of God upon you. Nothing that it brings is greater than the authority Jesus has given you. Nothing that it brings can damage the armor of God that you're to have on. Nothing that it brings is superior to the Word of God. Nothing that it brings is counterfeit, is superior to the salvation, to the fullness, to the restoration, to the healing, to the deliverance that Jesus brings. Nothing that it offers. And so we need millions of believers. I read a report the other day, in the United States alone, there's 240 million Christians. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. I believe there can be people naming that, putting it on charts, putting it on censuses. I don't know. And some would say, well, you know, over 300 million here, there's got to be, there's got to be 150 million. That's probably true by name. There's got to be 100 million going to churches and so forth, right? But even if you dumbed it down to 50 million, it's like with Gideon, when it finally God had to reduce him to the 300 of the greatest, and they were still victorious. See, churches that have thousands, if they're weak and subnormal, what's that matter? What's the matter if they just have another little Sunday school sermon on Sunday and no prayer and no power and no healing and no deliverance and no giftings and nobody, you know, saved on the spot, no work of God? What does that matter? That's Laodicea. That's Sardis. Once alive, now dead, no longer doing those supernatural works of Jesus, no longer manifesting all of that. God did not, Christ did not talk about the building of the church separate from his presence, his being there, his power, his giftings, his miracles. I am sick of the Western dumbed-down church. I'm sick of the subnormal, empty words. Pastors and theologians and Bible scholars from those areas, do you understand? Most of the half or more of the people don't show up anymore. They're bored. They read scripture. They don't see it. I'm not saying they're doing right. Of 12 years in 125 conferences and thousands of believers, they're crying out for local churches and local pastors, and not, they don't want the fake mocked up emotionalism. They don't want fake. They don't want to be dumbed down to silence. They want Book of Acts. They want a gathering where the living Savior is there and the felt conscious power of the Spirit of God is there. They want the Word of God unveiled. They want the gifts of God to be used rightly and good for the common good and to the glory of Jesus. They want to be there to pray and see answers in the sanctuary. See people saved and healed and delivered and restored and touched in the sanctuary. See giftings affect people. To see God all over the place. And if we're wide open, that's going to happen. In your life, if you're wide open, you want all of God? Give all your heart. You want all of God? Believe God. You want all of God? Don't let the darkness define you. Don't let your own defeats define you. Don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil himself define anything. Renounce them. Forsake them. Reject them. Embrace truth. Embrace Christ. Be filled with the Spirit of God today. Be filled with the Spirit of God tomorrow. Become even stronger and more powerful. May God stretch out his hand to clothe believers today who have not, you've not been filled. You don't know what it is to be clothed and inundated by the Spirit of God. May God, Father, it is your will. Ephesians 5, stretch out your hands. I'm asking, pour out the Spirit of God and fill individuals. Fill them with power. Fill them with might. Clothe them in power of the Holy Spirit and fire. just like Acts 1:8 says. Just like you promised. Just like we read in the book of Acts, Stephen filled with the Spirit of God, and Philip, and Barnabas, and all the, just like that, God, I pray, saving people, filling people, stretch out your hands. Mighty God, I ask you to deliver people from the results of and the effects of their sins. Christians, God's book of Galatians, God's not going to be mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life, Zoe, that which comes from heaven. That's what comes out of Jesus. So you got to decide right now whether you're going to sow. Maybe, you know, if you were to ask right now, are you satisfied with the Christian life? And if a lot of believers are out there going to say, oh, well, I'm kind of depressed, or I'm on pills, or I got panic things, and I got too much work, and I don't have anything to do, and I'm just bored, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. Why not? I'm going to tell you again, maybe others have failed you. You know what? If you sit back and become angry at other believers because you think they're hypocrites because they did something to you or they didn't do something for you, then you're worse than them because you know and you're affected and then you're doing the same thing and you're grieving the Spirit, you're quenching the Spirit, you're sitting back, you're doing nothing, you're doing absolutely nothing. If you're a believer who's never led anybody to Christ, why not? If you're a believer who's never prayed and seen an answer in front of you, why not? If you're a believer that knows about gifts of the Spirit and Scripture, but you don't know yours, why not? If you're a believer that knows darkness and demons and things and spirits and sleep paralysis and Satanists and witches and New Agers and Druids and Santeria and the Saint of Death in Mexico, and you don't want to be powerful, you don't want to be strong, why not? In the name of this great Savior, Yahweh Adonai, Jesus of Nazareth, may God raise up, may God grab his servants, may God redeem those servants. Father, I pray, stretch out your hands. Father, I pray this weekend may there be extraordinary revival, extraordinary salvation, extraordinary power of God, extraordinary works of Jesus, extraordinary. God, stretch out your hand. You're the same today. God, stretch out your hands. You're doing signs and wonders that glorify Jesus. God, stretch out your hand to actually heal, just like in Scripture. God, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke the dark side. We rebuke the demons. We resist the devil. He flees. We command the demons be expelled. And I pray right now, any believer listening, any person listening, I command your demons, anyone that has a demon, get out of their lives in Jesus' name. Lord, deliver them right now. We acknowledge the blood of the Lamb. We acknowledge the authority of Jesus. We acknowledge the power of his name. They tremble, don't they? For those in the dark side that sometimes try to listen to this broadcast, well, may God visit you with the terror of the Lord. May God hold you up and cause you and lead you to a decision. Heaven or hell, God or Satan, gain life or lose it. But whatever today, may God stop the human traffickers, stop the satanic pedophiles, stop the drug pimps and the drug lords, stop the abortionists in politics. May God confront anybody in the Democrat and Republican parties here in the United States that are abortion-minded. May God convict you. If you don't repent now, may God remove you. May God remove you from your spot. May God send righteous believers. May God send prayer warriors. May God send the Deborahs and the Daniels into the political world. May God keep the doors open. May God save, because God is not willing that anybody perish. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We read in have you read that? In Ezekiel 33, 34? I don't know about you, but if you take a look at page 12 on your notes, by the way, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast today, we're joining thousands and thousands and thousands of believers nationwide. We're asking God save the millions. God raise up the millions of believers. God let the dry bones come to life today in Jesus' name. Today we pray. Today you are here. Today we receive you. Today we accept by faith. We accept by faith the fullness of Jesus. We accept by faith the fullness of the Spirit of God. We accept by faith that gift of authority over the demons and over all the power of the enemy. We accept by faith all the giftings and workings and miracles and signs and wonders that you want to do. We accept all those. We accept them by faith, God. God, stretch out your hands. Heal, save, deliver, sign, and wonder. Glorify Jesus. Glorify Jesus everywhere. In the midst of Portland and Seattle and Philly and D.C., in the midst of Chicago and Cleveland and Ferguson, in the midst of all the cities here. You ever read the end of the book of Jonah? Have you ever read that before? Do you mind if I just take a moment and read? I don't know about you, but I read this. Here's God speaking when Jonah didn't really care. Here's the reluctant witness. Here's the guy that didn't really care about the other pagans getting saved. God speaks to the reluctant witness. God speaks to the, what do you want to call him? A race baiter? A racist? He didn't want these Gentiles saved. He didn't want these wicked people saved. Can you believe it? In self-righteousness, in Phariseeism, in that kind of fleshly religion stuff, there are believers out there. It seems like, anyway, they're so wicked, they're so evil, they're so sinful, they don't deserve salvation. Neither did you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have. You've been a sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus. You didn't do a single thing to get your salvation. You're just as much a sinner as anybody else. God says this in Jonah 4. Should I not therefore be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals, the commerce. God cares about individual lives. God cares about cities. God cares about nations. It's not over yet. Let me make it very clear to all believers. It's not over yet. Any believer thinking that it is, any believer that has been pushed by the darkness, pushed by the defeat, listened to sermons of defeated pastors and leaders that don't pray, that don't win souls, that don't do much, and they're explaining away their fruitlessness, they're explaining away their inability to do anything, they're explaining away by the darkness, they're giving excuses for their own failures. That needs, shut it up, shut it down, and let's repent. Let's repent now. Let's make it very clear and repent now. Page 10 and page 11 in the life notes, www.theraggededgeradio.com. Click on life notes, page 10 and 11. And now to page 12. And now to page 12, four things. It's not up to the world. 2, dark powers in a fallen world. 3, revival is needed. 4, unprecedented revival is possible. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I'm going to tell you right here and right now. Let's make it very clear. It's not up to the world, not even the political world. You know, Satan is wanting all the political seats. Either the church sits back and abdicates and allows all the demonized, all the New World Orders folks, all the globalists and all the baby killers and all the potheads and all the mushroom heads and all the Marxists. You sit back and let them take the places of power. Watch what happens to your nation. Always destruction. So I say, believers, citizens, you know, get in there. Get into those spots. Either you get in there or they will. Either you get in there in the local level or they will. Either you get in there on the city level or they will. Get in there on the national level or they will. May I say to nations around the world, it's not up to the world. 1 Corinthians 2 and 3 tells us about the world, the man without the Spirit of God. They can't even comprehend. The lost cannot handle it. the dark side and all that's the tsunamis of the dark side and all the demons and all the deception and all the globalism and all the chaos and pandemics and terrorisms and things in the skies, Luke 21, they can't handle it. They are not the people of God. They are not the servants of God. They are not those who have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. They don't have peace like a river. They don't have a Savior inside their hearts and lives. They're into drugs. They're into alcohol. They're into pills. They're into psychiatry. They're into everything possible out there to find an answer. Those in the tech world, drugs and pot and money and guided by spirits for the technology of the future. It's not up to the world. Can we say this as believers? It's not up to the world to do the job. The greatest, most powerful thing on the planet is the body of Christ worldwide. In India, in Russia, in Scotland, wherever you're at in all the world, yes, I acknowledge with you, the demons are there, the darkness is there, the oppression is there, the suppression is there. Find a way in Christ to do the mission of Jesus. Become adaptive like they did in the book of Acts. Same God, same mission, same truths, same possibilities, same works of Jesus. You find a way by the hand of God. God gives wisdom. God gives leadership. God gives direction. At one point he told Philip, go over there and stand by that chariot. He did. He led that guy to Christ. He got transported to another place. I believe in the biblical book of Acts supernaturalism that God brings. I believe everything in the book of Acts today, same Jesus, same Lord, same power, the Great Commission, everything that he has. Father, God, in Jesus' name, grant to us in mercy, grant to us in your grace, grant to us in your desire that none should perish, everything you have. Pour out on believers right now. Pour out on believers more than ever the Word of God, the Word of truth in power. Lead believers to stand and pray. Lead believers to stand and first get cleansed of the world, the flesh, and the devil, the lies, and the rest of it. Let there be a cleansing in their faith as they stand with that shield of faith up. Let there be a complete purifying of lives right now, God. It's not up to the world, and no Christian caught up in the carnality of the world can do it. No Christian defeated by their own sinful flesh because you willfully done it, you're not doing anything. You're grieving the Spirit of God. And no believer that wants to dumb down Christianity to somehow fit the world, you quench the Spirit of God. You vex the Holy One of Israel. You're the one that keeps away the hand of God, the miracles of God, the healing of God, the works of Jesus to the glory of Him. You help keep down that which would glorify Jesus by dumbing down Christianity to fit your half-baked, half-carnal, half-dead, mostly fruitless, prayer-powerless life. We don't need leaders like that. They need to get right before the Lord, become the powerful Phillips and Stephens and Pauls and Barnabases and Deborahs and so forth, or they need to be get out of the way. Let the young ones come up. You want to stand in power and do all the will of God? Get out of the way if you're a leader. Point two, page on that page there. If you got the live notes right now, page two on page 12, point two. Dark powers in a fallen world. In the book of 1 John, chapters 2 through 4, I mean, you can read the whole book. I mean, the cosmos, the fallen world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you know, all of that, the lust of it, not of the Father. The world and its desire, the fallen world system and its desires, it's all falling away. It's all dissipating. All this darkness, you know what all this darkness is? I want you to get really close because I want you to hear what you may have never heard yet. All of this Goliath, Antichrist, darkness, demons, possessed, New World Order, all of this is the dark side's panicking, angry, they know their time is short, last stand. It's their attempt to save their own tails. Defeated at the cross, defeated with the church and what it is in the world today, the church will never be defeated collectively. Individually, in places and here and there, yeah. But Jesus said, I'll build my church. He's Lord. He's God. He's the Savior. That's why we go to him. That's why we say, God, in Jesus' name, to the glory of Jesus, make the body of Christ, make the believers, God, become the powerhouses that they were intended to be. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, might. The opposition is real. But so is the hand of God, so is the power of God, so are the angels that God sends, so are the miracles and signs and wonders, so is a living Savior in you and with you, right? I'm not sure about you, but I kind of wonder providentially, by the grace of God, Spirit of God, hand of God, who's going to listen? Father, my prayer right now, I'm going to stop right now, do the rest of this on Monday. I'm going to be looking for great things over the weekend to happen in D.C., but we're going to go out to do ministry. We're going out this tomorrow to pray against some demonic stuff, some bad witch skulls, and these kids, these little girls were taken to it. I'm sick of this stuff. Become fierce against radical evil, bold as a lion in Jesus. The only way to do that, pick up the cross, follow him, deny self. You start obeying scripture, you start obeying the word of God, you're going to get stronger. You're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You're going to become Acts 5:42. You're going to become Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. To my brothers, to my sisters that I love deeply, to all the thousands of you and the thousands worldwide, I pray for your, you got to understand, I pray for your nations. That's why I went there. That's why I was in Poland and Germany and France and Scotland. And that's why I've been to those places. I love, God so loved the world. That's why I pray for Mr. Putin to be truly born again if he's not. I don't know that. I don't know the stories. All of us are sinners. All of us are lost. All of us are corrupted. All have gone away. Nobody really. God pursues us. Nobody loves us more. Nobody desired us more. Nobody knows us better. Nobody has sought us. You're listening right now. You don't even know this Jesus. I'm telling you, he's right there. He's right there ready to bolt into your life. He summons you. Repent of sin. Repent of all that. Turn to the living Savior. Turn to Jesus of Nazareth. Call on him right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Savior, come into my life and save me. Lord Jesus, I accept you by faith alone. I accept you to come into my life and forgive me and wash me and free me and cleanse me and deliver me. I renounce the sin and the demons and the rest. I renounce the lies of the horrors of racism and race baiting and all of it. All of the excuses and all of the blame shifting. Silence before Jesus. God, for revival, we pray. God, for revival, we ask. God, for revival right now, we pray. All over D.C., all over Washington, all over this nation, all over our cities, all over our families. God, stretch out your hands, extraordinary miracles to the glory of Jesus, for the deliverance of lives, saving and the healing. To the most wounded, the most broken, the most damaged, may Jesus, in miraculous, by the power of the Spirit of God that raised the dead up, may he raise you up, may he heal you, may he deliver you, right now, in Jesus' name. Right now, in Jesus' name. End of the hour, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. We love you. Keep it all in prayer. Step out. Be the powerful servant.
So breathe, oh breath of God. Now breathe, oh breath of God. Breathe, oh breath of God. Now